Today's Bible scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 52, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Please turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival, according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may grow well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Would all the mothers please stand? All mothers, please stand. All those who are sitting, let's give mothers a real healthy applause for all persons. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, would all grandmothers please stand? Thank you very much. You may be seated. I'm not sure that we really understand how very important grandmothers are. And we tend to lose sight of them sometimes, but we can't afford to do that. There's a young lady, I think many years ago, I think she was from Toronto, that wrote into a magazine explaining how she appreciates the opportunity of visiting grandmother regularly. And because grandmother meant for her security, she said, "I never go to grandmother's house and find the chair in a different place than they were the last time. All the furniture are always in the same place. And that gives me a sense of security that life is not going to change on me." So let's thank God for grandmothers. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you to speak your word to us now and help us to be different and better and closer to you because of what you do for us and through us in this message today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Honoring mother. That's the theme I have for today. Something is going on in my system, so sometimes I don't see right, sometimes I don't hear right, and I say to you, enjoy your youth, because the aging process is not a picnic. Now, the idea of honoring mother is a matter of action. It's a matter not only of feelings. It's a matter of doing things so that mother understands that you appreciate what she has been teaching you and who she is in your life. It's not a matter of waiting until Mother's Day to give her a nice card. Mothers are very discerning people. If you wait for Mother's Day to give a card, and she cannot look at the card and say, "You know, this child is so faithful and consistent. you could miscommunicate very easily. If you forget all the other things that Mother has said, and only remember that Mother is there, and then send her a card for Mother's Day, you could be missing the mark. So be very careful that as long as you have Mother in your life, you will honor her by respecting her, by doing things that please and strengthen and build her up. And it's very important for mothers to see that what they have been teaching you are at work in your life, in your lifestyle, and in your relationships. So it's not simply a matter of words, but it's a matter of lifestyle and action. The message I want to share with you today, I need an hour. I have about 20 minutes or so or less, so I'll do my best to be as concise as possible. There are two things I would like us to focus on. First of all, focus on the present, that is, time up to now, as far as it affects mother and mothering and the dynamics of loving and honoring and respecting mother. The second is the future. What does Mother's Day look like in the future? What does mothering look like? What does society look like in the future as far as mothers and the rest of us are concerned? Now, the scripture commands, the scriptures command children to obey their parents and love their parents, honor mother. And that applies to children of all ages. So if you are a mother with a mother, you still have to show regard for your mother while that mother is your mother. Did you get that? That is why it is so important and such a precious thing to see a lady who is a mother, but whose mother is not well, to respect and love and take care of that mother, the grandmother. It's a very, very precious thing and an example to the rest of society. Respect and honor your mother as long as she is with you. This respect does not bring grief or bring the negative to the experience of the mother. Notice what it says, sons and daughters, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. And if you'd like to fast forward to Eli and Samuel, you can learn some very precious lessons from them both. Respect and honor never bring grief, nor does it bring the negative. A wise child lives according to wisdom and thereby brings joy and pride to mom and dad. Such a child is guided by personal discipline, proper skill in living, which means following God's plan for one's life, avoiding immorality of all kinds, living a pure life, in short, living in such a way as to make a godly mother justly proud. Mother can say, my child is now living by the things I said 25 years ago or 5 years ago. The wise child strives to always make wise choices, just as taught by mom and dad. Remember what you're told. Oh, I thought this was Mother's Day, wasn't it? What I'm talking to the children. That's the way it's supposed to be, I suggest to you. You must develop a disciplined mind as a child, regardless of your age, and that will give mother and dad a tremendous sense of satisfaction and hope and joy. The wise child operates from an inner life of purity and divine life focus. Guidance comes in part with or in consecrated common sense. Focus on the wisdom that your mother has given you and live by it. the wise son or daughter is focused on proper and legitimate success, knowing the parents' support and experience and expectations and honoring them so the parents will be proud of their offspring, rejoicing in and with their achievements. When the child succeeds and the mother shares his or her joy, the child has honored the mother. So it's a matter of action and lifestyle, and not simply a theory. One commentator says this, listen carefully, Book of Proverbs, "The one who learns early in life to bow to parental authority and learn to respect all legitimate authority," will learn to respect all legitimate authority. "Eventually, the one who has been raised to respect authority will be entrusted with higher authority, which implies true success." Those are the words of John Phillips, if you'd like to check his commentary on the Book of Proverbs. Add to this the parental advice of Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to hang around your neck." Now, Mr. Commentator goes on to say, the reference in Proverbs 1, verse 9, to the neck is had a special reference for the child who is listening. The submissive neck, the neck that bows to authority, is not in contrast to the stiff neck. Is set in contrast to the stiff neck, the symbol of pride and rebellion. So what is the quality of the tension of your neck as a child? Do you listen? Are you submissive? Or do you think you're equal to your mother or father or both, and you are going to have your own way? You will not make it. The stubborn heart will produce suffering and regret for the child. Now, the emphasis on honoring mother has had a special relevance to the immigrant community, and that includes most of us, perhaps all of us here. People in charge of immigration over the years in Canada have done studies of persons or families that come into Canada. They look at some of the things that the parents have to endure. And it is discovered that it's very important for the child, let's say a teenager, with parents who may be a little older, coming into Canada, those children must be careful to pay strict attention to this principle. Here's what I mean. The experts have developed something that they call role reversal. You understand that? Role reversal. R-O-L-E. Role reversal. Think of a situation where a mother, father, children come from a different country, non-English speaking, into Canada. Mother has to go to the doctor. Daughter has been learning English and doing very well. Father has a job and has to go to the job. Now, mother, if she's going to have a successful visit with the doctor, must depend on the daughter to interpret for her and explain to the doctor what the mother's case is and what kind of treatment she needs. Now, if the mother and the daughter are in the doctor's office, The doctor recognized that their daughter is really in charge. And the mother is dependent on the daughter, hence the term role reversal. You got that? If the daughter really honors the mother, the daughter will not act with an attitude of superiority. Oh, I know English. Oh, my mother doesn't know English. No, no, no. You have to help the mother to communicate her need to the medical staff. Now, let's take that a step further, as the researchers have done. Mother and daughter now are not in the doctor's office. Mother and daughter are walking through the mall. For some reason, the daughter walks a few steps ahead of the mother. You get the picture? Suddenly, she sees a classmate coming down the other way. The daughter increases her space between her and the mother, eventually catches up with that friend from school. They begin to talk. The friend from school asks the daughter, "Who is that woman that you were walking with?" The daughter says, "Woman? What woman?" "I don't know." That drives a kind of dagger into a mother. You cannot do that. You have to admit, "This is my mother. Please meet her. I introduce her to you. This is my friend from school." If not, you could damage, a child could damage a mother very easily. Now, one of the mistakes that a child will make is to assume that what she is doing, the mother doesn't know or doesn't understand. But mothers are very perceptive. She knows very well what you're doing. She may not be able to explain it to you in English, but she knows. And the more you know that she knows, the better for both of you. Respect means respect. I love my mom under all circumstances. And if my friends are around, I'm going to introduce my mother to my friends rather than saying I don't know her. But those things happen. And they hurt. And they do not help the child. They certainly do not help the mother. There are cases, of course, where parents expect their children, lots of cases, expect their children to be respectful and to honor them. Now, let me give you a couple of scenarios from Chinese culture that you may not be aware of. As some of you know, I shared ministry at the Scarborough Christian School, High School, for a while, 3 years ago. When I went to the school, one of the staff members said to me, "You will notice a difference between the Chinese students." Most of the students in the school are Chinese. "You will notice that Chinese students are different to the Canadian students during the recess time. You see that very clearly." So I went to the cafeteria one day in the recess, the morning recess, and the cafeteria was full of Chinese students studying. Where were the Canadian students? Playing basketball outside. Why were these Chinese students so diligent? Because they knew that their parents back home were working hard so they could qualify for university here in Canada. Unfortunately, there are a few exceptions. When you enter the office of the school early on a given day, you could hear a Chinese voice on the telephone talking long distance back home to the students' parents. What was happening was one or two cases, the child was not honoring mother and father because the child was not really working hard and achieving the kind of quality of marks that the child needed. The school had an obligation with the parents to see to it that the child honored mother and father back home. So they would be calling at a time when the parents are just getting home from work after a long day's hard labor to tell them, your child is not pulling his weight, her weight. We would like you to talk to him, talk to her. And they put the parents and the child on the phone together. And then, of course, something good, hopefully, would happen, and usually did. I might add that after going to the cafeteria and seeing the difference between the students, not too long afterwards, the principal was sharing with the staff some good news, how the Chinese students were involved in math competition across the province and getting good awards. So everybody was able to rejoice, and you know that the parents back home would rejoice with that. Again, however, there is one exception. I learned this later, so I spoke to a friend on the phone. There was a young man in the school, probably grade 13 or grade 12, who was back home, I believe in Hong Kong, for the summer vacation. The parents had a business, and he was expected to help in the business while he was there. So he was given an assignment. One day, the owners, the parents, owners of the store, had a visitor from English-speaking West, a businessman who came to negotiate a deal. The father was excited. He said, oh, great. My son has been in Canada studying English, and he will be able to translate for us. So they called the son in. The son could not translate one sentence. The father became so angry, he almost killed the boy. The son begged for another chance. And the father said, okay. The person who was talking to me on the phone said, you wouldn't believe it's the same boy. He is really working hard. You see, I tell you these stories to show the contrast between honoring the parent and not honoring the parent. Honoring the parent is not simply a matter of writing a letter saying, I love you, I appreciate your money, but we're doing things, attitude, action, and so on. The whole thing is a matter of action. So we need to, as young people, as children of any age, respect mother and, of course, father. Now, the second thing I would like us to meditate on for a moment is the future. I have a little concern about what's happening in the family because of what our political leaders are trying to do to the family. In 2007, in writing a message, I came across a statement, an idea, a practice. I believe it came out of New York, that schools were discouraging children from giving their parents, their mothers, Mother's Day cards and celebrating Mother's Day. My concern is this. If we do not watch what's happening in the culture, the day will come in this country when there will be no more Mother's Day. Now, before you get discouraged, let me say, a couple of days ago, an advertisement turned up on my computer which said, Mother's Day celebrated across the world, and Mother's Day cards are in abundance. Of course, that was from a card company. So you've got to be careful how you interpret the truthfulness of these statements. Now, the reason why I'm concerned is this. My time's up. The reason is this. The culture has been changing. The government has been changing. The culture is no more mother and father. Now, if you watch some of the game shows on television and see the combination of contestants, their relationship with one another, you find a shocking change in family structure. And that's being broadcast across the world. Mothers are no longer called mothers. Fathers, or let me back up a bit. Some people do legally. What the government has said is, you don't have a mother and a father. You have parent one and parent two. Am I right? Parent one, parent two. Where's mother? So what kind of day are you going to celebrate when all this comes into full operation? No more Mother's Day, no more Father's Day, just Parent Day. Now, a long time ago, I discovered in preparing a couple for marriage and looking at the documents I got from the government, I discovered this little form, which is about this size, as I recall, and it was an application form for the bride to complete if she wanted to take the surname of her new husband. Now, the culture I grew up in, it was automatic. At the end of the ceremony, the officer, the presiding officer, the pastor would say, please receive Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so. Amen. And now this one says, by the government, you have to apply to change your name. And also, as I recall, you have to pay to do that. So what is happening to the family is that it is being torn apart by legislation. And we, as Christians, must fight, and fight hard, and maintain it. I'm going to use the word finally, for your sake. Mothers need to understand how absolutely crucial you are to the nation. Do you hear what it was? I said to the nation. Let me explain as briefly as I can. Many years ago, there was an article written by an official somewhere in Canada saying to Canada and to France, you cannot afford not to replace your population because that will cut down your workforce. Are we together? Anybody out there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you can't afford to continue aborting babies. Because if you abort the babies, you abort your future workforce. Now, just recently, the topic has come up, it might have 2 weeks ago, it has come up again, impacting Europe and Canada. And here is the strange hypocrisy. There is no political party in this country who is committed to addressing the business of abortion and to bring an end to it. They will not revisit it. A statement I heard on radio more than once said in America, the United States has aborted 60 million babies since they started aborting babies. Now, here's what happens. When you don't replace your population, you've got a gap. You need thousands and thousands of people. Here's a nation that did not abort their babies and they grew up. Here's Canada that aborted babies, so they say, give us some of your grown-up babies. And they bring into the country a mentality and a culture and a religion different to Christianity. And abortion is destroying this country and Europe, whether we like it or not. And Europe is now almost fully Muslim because of immigration. So, mothers, recognize how absolutely important, crucial you are to the nation. The future of Canada rests with the mothers. Did you hear me? Amen. The future of Canada rests with present and future mothers and fathers. Let's pray. Father God, please help us to be wise in all we do and to please you in every way. Give special encouragement to all our mothers, grandmothers, future mothers. Give them a focus that is divine and eternal and permanent. And help them to recognize how absolutely indispensable they are to the future of this country. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.